Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Riverside Roundtable, Riverside Theater, talking about the stuff we are doing. My name is Megan Gogarty. I am your host of this edition of the Riverside Roundtable, where we are talking about Roar, an upcoming show at Riverside Theater, opens March 4th through the 13th. Joining me here in the podcast are some of the actors and writers from the show. Let's go around, say your names. Start with Rip.
My name is Rip Russell.
And what are you doing for the show, Rip?
I'm doing two pieces, two monologues. One is called Addiction, and the other is called Smoothness.
Yikes. Okay, good. And how about Robin?
Hi, I'm Robin Calhoun, and I'm doing three monologues in the show, Hole in the Wall, and Pants on Fire, and A Little Love Goes a Long Way.
And it does. How about Rob?
No idea.
Hi, I'm Rob Klein. Lots of people know me as a guy who sits in the theater and reviews actors. For this show, I'm going to do exactly the same thing, except I'm going to be on stage reviewing the other direction.
Ah, exciting. I can't wait. And then finishing up our table, who do we got?
I'm Sam Oshroff. I'm the artistic director, and I'll be directing the show.
Fantastic. So this is a show that is being billed as a weird, wild, and wonderful night of original solo work. Let's talk about what's weird about it.
So much weird about it. I think there's some very strange pieces in this, don't you guys? I mean, I think there's some not strange pieces as well. But, yeah, there's...
Name me one weird thing.
One weird thing. Well, I think your piece, Rip, is a little weird. Addiction.
It's a little very weird. Yeah, I think it is. It's a little strange. It's a challenge. It's a twist of sort of an old tale for a monologue. About somebody who is in a program talking about it, some issues that he has. But there's a little twist to it, and I think the audience is going to be surprised to see that and hopefully won't see it coming. And the other piece I'm doing is kind of a 180 from that, too. So two different pieces, two different characters, and that's what makes the night so fun is when you're doing a couple different ones is the fact that they are so different. And, you never don't know what you're going to get. A little potpourri of theater.
Because in one of the monologues, Rip is going to face the audience. And in the other, his back is going to be to them.
Right,
same
monologue.
Like
180.
There's going to be people there? Did you, what? I thought this was what?
Depends on how this podcast goes.
Good thing I've got the magic bills.
Fantastic. So now, this for longtime River Dogs, I would say longtime listeners of this podcast, but we have had exactly one other episode, so there are no longtime listeners of this podcast. But for longtime season ticket holders of Riverside Theater, we've done a festival of solo works in the past, but it was called Walking the Wire. This is now called Roar. Roar, which my roar. Yeah, I said it. Roar.
You said it.
Good job, me. So what's the haps, yo? Why is it called Roar?
Haps? I don't know. We just thought Walking the Wire had been around for a long time, and maybe it was time for a little fresh coat of paint on it. So I haven't seen a lot of Walking the Wires because I just got here. So I kind of had to make it up. We thought, let's change the title just for starters. And we thought Roar was kind of since it's all about speaking, sometimes loudly, we thought Roar might be a catchy title.
And it is a fantastic poster of a demonic kitten.
Yeah, isn't it?
Feeling her oats, which I approve.
Yeah. So I don't know what else. I don't know what I've changed in it because I don't have anything to compare it to. But
how many monologues are there?
There are. I think there's about 15 monologues, but some of them are longer and they're split up into three different parts. So I'd say in terms of like actual pieces, there's probably about 20 pieces.
Okay, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
That'll be fun. And then how many actors?
Oh, just me. No, there's there are six actors in the show this year.
Okay, six actors and 20 pieces, but some of those are of larger works. And are they written by local folk, nationwide folk?
Mostly nationwide. We get submissions every year, and this year we had 282 submissions.
Wow!
And I read every one of them. I didn't know anybody, so I didn't have the information to be like, oh, that's a local person or that's not. I just read a lot of pieces, and the ones that grabbed me are the ones that we wound up working on.
Awesome. Now, Rob Klein, we have talked to you because, Rob, you're a veteran theater critic, and yet here you are treading the boards, as they say.
Veteran theater critic. I kind of like that.
That's nice. Well, yeah. That's what it says here on my notes.
Okay, fair enough.
You critique theater by
veterans.
Yeah. I do. Anyone in uniform, I'm happy to talk about how they perform and how they're doing.
So what got you on the stage?
You know, I've been thinking about submitting this sort of meta piece to Walking the Wire for a long time. But what actually sort of stopped me for a long time was the theming of Walking the Wire. I couldn't ever quite figure out how the idea that I had worked with Merge, for example.
Oh, right, because every year Walking Wire had a theme.
Yeah, in the latter iterations it did, and so I could never quite figure out how to make it work as part of that. And so when
you were waiting for the theme that said Rob Klein.
Well, I was, and nothing says Rob Klein like veterans and roar, I think, is what it amounts to. But I also think, you know, it's valuable for those of us who deign to sit in the audience and judge everybody else's work to every now and again try to get a sense of what that's actually like to do, right?
And sure.
This is a fairly safe way for a guy who's a writer, not an actor, to, you know, get up there and take part of it and let other critics say, you know, that Klein guy, man, he's really not any good, and you shouldn't listen to his reviews anymore, which is a possible result of the whole thing.
Is this your first time acting?
Since my senior year in high school, where I played Alan Felix in Woody Allen's Play It Again, Sam, and also the Doctor in The Adventures of Paddington Bear.
Oh, there's
some
diversity
there. 1989.
That's a high bar.
1989. It was a big year for me in theater, but also the end.
Both of those are Woody Allen plays.
Yes, The Adventures of Paddington Bear, as told by Woody Allen. Yes, a neurotic Paddington Bear.
A very neurotic bear.
Please take me in, please. Someone take me in.
Britain.
That's right.
Well, it's the stuffing. It's the stuffing. There's something with the stuffing. I can't get it out of my. It's itchy. It's
That's good. So what's rehearsal been like, Rob?
Short. So far, there've been a couple of rehearsals where I've read through the piece with Sam. It's divided into four sections. I find as I memorize more of it that it's easier to be meaner as I memorize it. Sam has asked me to, and this is not a stretch for me at all, to be a little more arrogant as I critique the room a little bit. And I find that is, as more of the words are stuck in my head, it's easier to do that. I did deliver the first section to my 10-year-old the other day, and her critique, because we're a family of critics, was, you can't see it on the podcast, but it was one of these, I don't know, Dad, you said all the words that were on the page, so
give you props for that. To
high praise.
That's right.
Do you find, long-time River Dogs will know that I do a lot of my own monologue stuff, and I'm a solo artist, and I write my own material, which, Rob, you have written your own material.
That's right.
And I find myself, when I rehearse it, to be like, who's this stupid writer wrote too many words? Are you in that place yet?
Well, you know,
are you still in love with yourself?
Yes. No. One of the things that I notice the more I do it is I notice there's some repetition in it. And so I find myself rewriting it, which is counterproductive when you're also trying to memorize it.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
So I've been moving some pieces of it around so that that I only make fun of the way, say, people laugh at one time instead of over and over throughout the piece. So I don't know. You know, I honestly, when I wrote it, it never really occurred to me that Sam would say, hey, you're going to be the actor too, right? I had Tim Budd in mind, really. And so the whether I'm in love with the writer or not, who I'm really not in love with is the actor.
Oh,
so we're working on that part.
And how about you, Robin? Because you're acting in a piece that somebody else wrote.
Right.
So what's that like?
Well, I'm not a writer, so it's the same as always. I would always rather act in somebody else's piece. I'm doing three, and they're all incredibly different from each other. So,
Rob has the advantage in that he gets to play himself.
Right,
so
yeah.
So he can't do it wrong.
He can't do it wrong.
You'd be surprised.
Our theme this year, everybody's actually playing Rob Klein.
And
Robin's really good at it.
Are you going to try to sell tickets to that?
What you thought was Rob Klein speaking for the last couple minutes was actually Robin Calhoun. Yeah, that's how good she is.
That's how good I am. No, but it's interesting because doing three pieces on the same night, and in fact, one of them's cut up in three chunks, so playing the same person at three different times is interesting. And then switching, I guess it's at the act change, I'll switch into different people. It's really fun. It's really hard, but it's really, really fun.
Wow, how exciting. So Sam Osheroff, Artistic Director of Riverside Theater.
Yes, Megan Gogarty.
What is the biggest challenge of directing a play that's all monologues?
Well, I think the biggest challenge that we'll hopefully figure out next week is we've been rehearsing separately. So I rehearse with everybody for an hour at a time, you know, by themselves. And I have to figure out how this all fits together next week and how we put it together, because I do want it to have some high production value, and I do want it to be bound by something. We made the conscious decision this year not to have a theme, because I wanted to go with pieces that I liked rather than pieces I thought fit a theme, although there have been some themes that have emerged as we've been working. Ooh, that's my mom. I have to go. So what was I talking about? I totally
lost my thought. You're talking about how the theme is things Sam Osheroff likes.
Things that I like, yeah. And, you know, other people weighed in as well. just figuring out how to put the whole thing together as a cohesive show and not just somebody standing in the stage speaking and then the next person comes out and speaks. So there'll be a lot of music. There's a beautiful setup there right now. It looks really cool.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll do a lot of lighting effects and a lot of music and a lot of physical transitions in between the scenes. That's
the
hard
part.
And
a huge musical number as a finale,
that's
right?
That's for Rob Klein. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I've been writing it. I've been rewriting it and writing it and singing it for my 10-year-old. She doesn't like it.
The Klein can
she's
climb.
Like, she's like, meh. Yeah.
That's outstanding. Let me ask another question. So is this show appropriate for kids? How do we feel? Yay, nay,
ish.
I'm going to say it's PG-13. There's some, there's a little bit of language in it, but mostly there's some dark, not everything. There's some very light, funny pieces because we're going for eclectic, but there's some dark stuff. And I think one of the themes I've sort of noticed as we've unintentionally picked pieces involve some people going through some real deterioration, some mental deterioration.
That's a great theme.
Yeah, it's a good theme. And it's and
I wouldn't know anything about that personally.
I don't
so.
Know. I know. Me neither.
It's very hard to act. No idea.
But yeah, it's there's some stuff that's a little disturbing, but nothing you wouldn't see on basic cable, I don't think.
Okay, PG-13. I always say my plays are PG-13 just because if you're under 13, you'd probably be bored. Why does she keep talking about herself?
Because 13-year-olds are never bored.
Yeah. So 200 and some pieces are submitted, and they were narrowed down through the scintillating judgment of you and a committee of folk, right?
Yes.
More or less.
Except for the scintillating part, yes. And the judgment
part. I just wanted to show off to the listeners of this podcast that I can use words like scintillating.
That is amazing, Megan.
That's my key. That's why I agreed to host this podcast. I was like, if only I can work in the word scintillating.
Cool. Let's change the name from Roundtable to Megan's Vocabulary Showcase.
We'll be here all day.
That's true. We'll never go. Okay, and then let me ask you this. It's a weird, wild, and wonderful night of original solo work. So does that mean none of the pieces have been done anywhere else when you say they're original?
Yeah, I don't think anything. I think this is all world premiere. We have one by a guy named Glenn Alterman, who actors may know. Glenn Alterman is kind of a well-known monologue writer. Super nice guy. So that piece may have been performed elsewhere. But everything else, I think, is... We're having 20 world premieres in one night. Yes,
that's not bad.
Yeah. Oh, and you asked me about local authors. Chris Okishi's doing a great piece too.
Yeah.
Chris Okishi is an audience and town favorite, and also Megan Gogarty favorite. I love him so much.
Yes, who doesn't love Chris Okishi?
And has often appeared in Walking the Wire as well.
Yes,
I'm a devoted fan of Walking the Wire. I've never done it before, but I always come see it. And my husband, who hates theater, always says it's his favorite thing because if he doesn't like something, it's over in 10 minutes and he gets to watch something else.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Thanks, honey. That's good. I hope you like what I do.
That's probably the best note we could end on, which is if you don't like it, just wait 9 minutes.
Exactly.
And then something else will happen.
Rob, can you make that our advertising campaign?
That's fantastic. All right, gang. Well, this has been Megan Gogarty, your trusty reporter here at Riverside Theater. Come and see Roar, a weird, wild, and wonderful night of original solo work. It's running for only 2 weeks, March 4th through the 13th. If you want to get tickets, you can go to www.riversidetheater, that's spelled with an R-E, because we're delightfully pretentious, riversidetheater.org, or give a ring to the box office, 319-338-7672. Ask for Andy, and he'll answer the phone. Good? Rip? Final words.
final words are it's going to be a blast. This will be my fourth night of monologues, having done three Walking the Wires and now one Roar. So I'm excited to be back on the Riverside stage, and I think everybody should come check us out. And keep in mind, if you don't like it, it'll be over in 10 minutes.
You know, much like many things.
Yeah, just like many things. But, well, we won't go into that right now. Thanks for bringing that up, Megan. That's kind of personal. But anyway.
Much like many PG-13 activities.
Yeah,
just close your eyes and think of Iowa City.
Moving on.
Yes.
And on that horrible joke, thanks, everybody. See you around.